Years ago, my brother, who's now with the Lord, he was a minister, a pastor in the Ohio area, and we had flown out to see him and to visit he and his family. We're still quite close to his three children and their families, and both he and his wife have now passed away. But we had gone out, this would be quite a number of years ago, to Lorain, Ohio to visit him, and it was time to come back home again. And so my brother Bob was going to take us to the airport. It was Mom and Dad and Randy and me. Randy and me, and I think probably Mom were in the back seat, and Bob and Joy and Dad were in the front seat, I believe. And we were driving to the airport, and Bob did not have a map. He did not want to ask for directions, and he did not know where he was going. And as is true, and I hesitate to stereotype, but I'm going to do it anyway. As is true with many of us men, he took off for the airport. And we were driving and driving, and he'd turn here, and he'd turn there, and he was convinced he knew where he was going. And over again, he would put his arm on the seat, and he'd turn around while he's driving. And he'd say, "Mom, it feels like we're going the right direction, doesn't it? Mom, does it feel like we're going the right direction? Dad, what do you think? Does it feel like we're going the right direction?" Finally, my father was so exasperated, he said, "Bob, would you stop and ask for directions?" And so Bob stopped and asked for directions. But he came by it honestly. I have to tell you that, because it was either in 1968 or 69 that we were driving through Chicago, and I was just a little boy, and my brother wasn't much older, two years older than me. We were driving through Chicago, and if you remember the 60s, you remember the riots in the big cities. And Chicago was especially notable for rioting during that time. And it was right during the height of the riots that were taking place, and buildings were being burned, and people were taking to the street, and it was the civil rights movement, and it was getting about dark. It was dusk as we were driving through Chicago. And my dad took a turn off the freeway thinking that he was going to find another freeway. And like most men, he didn't stop and ask for directions. And Dad kind of got lost. And we found ourselves what we thought was downtown. And finally, Dad saw a policeman. And so he pulled up behind the policeman, honked his horn, and went like this out the window. And the policeman pulled over and came back to Dad's window and said, "Can I help you?" And my dad said, "I think we're lost, and we don't want to be downtown during the riots at night." And the policeman said, "You're right in the middle of them." And so then the policeman gave Dad directions, and we managed to get back on the freeway and got out of there. But for some reason, directions, particularly for us guys, can any of you men say amen, are hard to come by. We just don't want to ask for directions. And in fact, many of us, when we get something new or different, the directions come with it. And what do, guys? We throw the directions out and we say we know how to put it together ourselves. When I do that, I usually have 10 or 12 parts left over. I don't know about you, but anyway, directions are important. They really are. And I want to suggest to you today that God wants for us to follow His directions. And His directions are right. Somebody say amen. His directions are good. Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorite verses, says, "For I know the thoughts I have for you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The Lord wants us to follow His directions for our own good. In Ephesians chapter 5, we see that we can understand the direction of the Lord that He has given us. And I'm going to pose some questions to you this morning. There are five of them to be exact, and I want you to listen to them. If you want to jot them down, you can. Five questions to see, are you following His directions? First of all, I want to ask you this. Is this something that will help me grow closer or walk closer to God? When I come up to something in my life, when I find something in my life, and I'm faced with a a divergent path. I can either go to the left or I can go to the right. I want to ask myself, which way is going to help me to be closer to God? And then when I make that decision, I want to ask myself, is this something that's going to help me grow closer to the Lord? We are to walk, the Bible says in Ephesians 3:15, see that you walk circumspectly. I love that word, circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. New International says, be very careful then that you live not as unwise, but as wise. We are to walk our Christian walk out with caution. We are not to be careless in the way we live our lives. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you know Christians who are careless? They kind of are just wanton in the way they live their Christian life. We're to be careful in the way we live our life, to be careful that our lives conform to the Word of God, to be careful that our lives conform to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to what God wants for our lives. See that you walk circumspectly, or be very careful how you walk then. Walk with caution. The word circumspectly means accurately, exactly, or in the right way. Frequently, the rule that we consult is our own rule. We do what we want to do. I think of a verse, and I looked it up, but I don't have it in front of me. It's talking about the men of Issachar, and it was one of the Old Testament tribes, and it said the men of Issachar were wise because they discerned, or they knew the times. They knew how to live their lives because they knew the times. The Bible says that the days are evil, and nobody has to tell us that, do they? And so we need to live our lives in such a way that is going to be pleasing to God. Not to consult our own rule, our own thoughts, our own direction, but to consult what God has said in His Word. I know Christians, they never crack the book. They never open the Bible to read it. If you want to know what God says, you've got to read what God says. You've got to hear what God says in the house of the Lord. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. The fool will not open his Bible. He will not attend church to hear what God has to say. What is God saying today? It's all found, my friend, right here in the Word of God. We need to consult what God has said. Is this something, when I'm faced with something in my life, I need to ask, is this something that's going to help me walk closer to God? Secondly, is this something that is deserving of my time? Ephesians 5:16, we read it, says redeeming the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And that verse, redeeming the time, follows these words. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The New International again says making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Is this something that deserves my time? Well, I know that you have to work, and so that's deserving of your time, because the Bible says he that doesn't work shouldn't eat. But the other things that you engage yourself in, are they worthy of your time as a child of God? Is it worth my while to sit at a bar stool and drink? I don't think so. Is it worth my while to sit on the phone and gossip? Probably not. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil, the Bible said. God wants us to know His will. Psalms 143:10 says, teach me to do your will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. God wants us to make the most of our time. Colossians, I believe it's Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, says, be wise in the way you act toward outsider. Make the most of every opportunity. I like that word, opportunity. I had a pastor that through another party has contacted me and said, tell Tim I want to talk to him because I may have an opportunity for him. Well, that kind of excites me, because I don't know what that opportunity is going to be, but usually it's a good thing. Make the most of every opportunity. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Is this worthy of my time? Because the days are evil. The third question, is this something that leads to self-control? I don't know about you today, but I know about me. And maybe it's true confession time for the preacher, but self-control is the thing that I have the hardest time with. I dieted for years. Up the weight goes, and I got to go on a diet, so down it comes. But I love to eat, so up it goes, a little higher. How many know what I'm talking about? And I need a diet, so down it comes. But I love to eat, so up it goes, even a little higher. And it was just like that, a yo-yo, until finally, maybe I have learned a little bit of self-control, I hope, anyway. We'll see. Call me back in a year, and we'll see, okay? And so self-control, is this something that will lead me to self-control? Whenever I talk about self-control, I think of a kids' crusade that we did, my wife and I did one time. And we had one of our puppets, it would sing, self-control is just controlling myself. I won't sing the rest of the song to you. I'll spare you. But that's self-control. It's controlling yourself. Does this lead me to self-control? In our text, there is a negative aspect and there is a positive aspect. And you know that in self-control, there's a negative aspect and a positive aspect. In the text, the negative aspect has to do with alcohol. It says, be not drunk with wine. The positive aspect, and this has to do with any area of self-control. This will work for anything. It says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And so that is what's going to lead you into self-control. Verse 19 says that our speech should be proper. Have Spirit-led conversation. Verse 19 also talks about having a Spirit-controlled heart. Let me read those verses to you. Chapter 5 and verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I ask questions. First was, is it going to make me walk closer to God? Secondly, is it deserving of my time? Third, does it lead to self-control? And so it has a lot to do with the positive of being filled with the Spirit, speaking the things that are uplifting and edifying. Galatians 5:22, and you know this so well, I wouldn't have to read it to you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So is this something that leads to self-control? In my life, when I'm looking at my life and I'm thinking about the decisions that I make, I have to ask number four the question, is this something that will give me a thankful heart? Thankfulness is underrated for Christians. Verse 20, Ephesians 5 says, giving thanks for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. We need to be thankful. Verse John 7:17 says, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Here it is. It's a thankful heart, and it proceeds from the Father. He went away, Matthew 26, Jesus, a second time, and he prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but your will be done. Facing the cross, Jesus would submit himself to the Father. And I believe that it was only as his heart was in thankfulness and communion and love with the Father that he could do that type of submission. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, be joyful always, pray continually, in all things give thanks, in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so, understanding the will of God, will it help me walk closer to God? Is it deserving of my time? Does it lead to self-control? Will it give a thankful heart? And number five, is it something that will enhance proper relationships. You know, I used to shy away from this. In fact, I probably have even quoted these verses in this church and shied away from it. But I tell you what, I'm going to drive head on into it right now. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, wives should submit to their husbands in everything. But husbands, you don't get off scot-free. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He died for the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word, to present her to himself a radiant church." That's what you're looking to make your help your wife become, not make her, but help her become a radiant wife, without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies, but they feed and they care for their body. No one hated his own body. For we are members of his body, of Christ's body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will be one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as himself, and the wife respect her husband. And let me just tell you something today. I'm talking about enhancing proper relationship. This works. It's awfully quiet in here. What I just read to you, this works. How do you know that, preacher? Because I lived it for 35 years with Doris. A wife that loved and respected her husband, and a husband that loved his wife. It's the will of the Lord that there be harmony in the home. Let me say that again so that it's clear. It is the will of the Lord that there be harmony in the home. And it comes when the husband and the wife are both in harmony with God and walking according to his word. Amos chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. Actually, Amos 3:3 is the only verse I want to read. It says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Finally, in Ephesians chapter 5, talking about following the direction of God. Ephesians 5:14 says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See them that thou walk circumspectly, not as unwise, but as wise, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." My friend, today, do you understand the direction of God? Five thoughts here. Will it help me walk closer to God? Is it deserving of my time? Very important one. Does it lead to self-control? Number four, will it give me a thankful heart? And number five, will it enhance the relationships I have with others, especially my family? Those five tests are going to help you know whether what you're thinking about and the way you're living is in the direction of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you give us directions in your word. You give us directions on how to live a happy, healthy, whole life. Help us, Lord, to be conscientious, to follow those directions, Lord, and to understand what the will of the Lord is. We ask, Lord, that you'll bless each person. May these words go with us as we leave this place today. We pray, Lord, that our lives would be a little bit deeper in you and our growth would be a little bit more in you, because we have heard the word of God today. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn